I'm here on the line with KLP, who is going to be playing at RNV. Morena, KLP, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having a chat for me.
Of course, of course. Anytime, you know. Playing at RNV, that's a huge, huge deal. KLP, DJs, RNV. Now, that's a lot of acronyms to deal with. Do you think at this point in your life you're dealing with the most acronyms you've ever had to encounter?
Oh, my gosh, I haven't thought of it that way. But, yes, my mates just call me KP. So my whole DJ name is based off my initials. My full name is Christy Lee Peters. So maybe people can just shorten it, KP. You know, then we're on, like, a close friend's name basis too. I'm happy with that.
I did have a question about your name, KLP. I know it is your actual name. But is it also an homage, pardon my French, to the electronica duo from the 90s, the KLF?
No, nothing to do with that. So my name came about, I think, when I first started DJing, which was a long time ago now, maybe like 15 years ago. And it was the first show I was booked for where there was artwork. And so I needed the person booking it was like, we need to know your DJ name. What's the DJ name? And at that stage, I didn't have any kind of DJ name. I was just playing at venues all about. And so I quickly made this decision overnight and said, oh, just say KLP. That's just my initials. Let's go with that. And it just stuck. So, yeah, I wish there was a way more inspiring and cool story behind it, but it's pretty basic.
I'm in a similar boat. My nickname, my DJ nickname, like radio host DJ nickname, is Hoftrop, because my last name's Hoffman. And I got very unceremoniously knighted by one of the former program directors at Radio 1. So I share your pain. I wish I had a better name, but this is what we're stuck with, you know? This is what we're going to deal with.
Yeah. Just focused on coming up with cool song titles so that will, you know, take the focus away from my initial name.
Now, with your tracks, you perform vocals as well as, you know, engineering, producing the whole thing. And you add these extremely bright, catchy, dancey verses, quips and choruses, bridges and so on and so forth. Did you start as a DJ or a vocalist?
So I've always been, at the core, a songwriter. I grew up with a dad that ran a recording studio in Sydney, Australia. And so I would come home from school from as early as I can remember, and I would be hanging out in his studio and kind of making music off a little four-track that he had. So I was always making songs, so involved in vocals and singing along, but at the same time, like, playing instruments and making beats and things. So it was such a natural progression for me. The DJing thing came later when I started going out and partying, because I realized that I really liked choosing the songs when I was throwing house parties. I then had a friend that was DJing, and I kind of like went along to his gig, and when he would go to the bathroom, I would just jump on and play. And from that, I scored a DJ gig. So it all just happened really organically for me, kind of the songwriting, making tunes, and then DJing. So I do all of it still.
Over the course of your decade spanning career, you're focused more on using your vocals to platform your music, or vice versa. Do you think that's changed much since your 2013 Revolution EP?
Yeah, it's really changed, because I found that when I was singing on things, a lot of the time people just automatically thought I was just the vocalist. Like, it was hard for people to comprehend that you could do more than just vocals. And if it was some kind of collab with someone, I would be the vocalist, and everyone would assume I had nothing to do with the production and the actual, you know, making of the track. And so for a period, I was trying to almost play down my skills and as a singer and the vocals, because I wanted to prove myself as a producer. I feel like more people understand that now, and through me sharing some of my productions and just releasing more music, people do understand that I do have a hand in it all. So now it's leveling out a little bit, but it changes. Sometimes I feel like singing more, other times I want to work with other vocalists. So I try not to trick myself and just go with whatever I'm feeling at the time.
Do you think one of the reasons you might have limited yourself is because often in those kind of producer electronic-y circles, they're quite male-dominated? Do you think that had an effect on also you being recognised as a producer, not just a singer?
100%. I think being a female that sings, people struggle to believe you have other skills. And as you've said, if it's me and another producer that is male, I take the vocalist role, they take the producer role. And so I've really been trying to kind of challenge that and point out that I'm very involved in all of the above. And I think people do understand that now.
I think in Aotearoa New Zealand, the DJ thing is still pretty male-dominated. It's getting more diverse. Do you think it's kind of a similar situation over in Sydney, or is it a bit more equal now compared to when you started?
I think it changes all the time. The moment that I feel like it's leveled out, then something else will happen, and I feel like it kind of rears its head again. But for me, on a personal level, I think just having so much experience and really knowing my strengths and being able to stand by them, I feel pretty comfortable doing everything. I think the more times I walk into a songwriting session and I realize that I have skills that just help. I don't know if it's the same in New Zealand, but in Australia we have this tall poppy syndrome thing, and we also really struggle to kind of own our strengths and, you know, say, hey, I'm actually really good at that. I feel the older I get and the more work I do, the more songs I write, the more collabs I have, the more I can actually be like, you know what, I'm actually good at that. And in a lot of cases, I'm better than others at that. So from a personal level, I feel really comfortable with my space now.
And also because of your size, it's awesome that you get to also platform other women in the space as well, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was listening to your, I think, 2024 EP, Alter, and the track Empty Down gave me a very visceral flashback to these old extreme sports 2000s console games such as 1080 Snowboarding or the PS1 game that's literally just called Snowboarding. It gave me a flashback to the soundtracks to those games. Were they an influence at all on that song?
Oh, no, I wish I could say they were, but I have never been a computer game fan. I would be horrible at playing them. So, no, I cannot say that that isn't an influence at all. I think the thing that has really influenced my sound is just playing lots of shows and knowing the types of songs that I want to play in my sets, the types of songs that work in my sets and connect with people. That's really the influence for me. I played a show just the other weekend and I was testing out new demos, and it's such an immediate thing to play something and watch the crowd react to it. And so that's really my influence at the moment, is writing songs that connect to people.
I think it's because there's a very signature sound with those old soundtracks, which is very disco-driven house that's very funky too. It's a whole aesthetic. It's great.
Oh, I love that. I'll have to go check it out.
You're playing Rhythm and Vines later in the year in December, if I'm not mistaken, which is very exciting. Have you played it before?
I have never played Rhythm and Vines. There have been, over the last few years, times where, you know, there's been an offer to play, but I couldn't get there logistically to make it around other shows, etc. And this year is the first year where it can actually happen. And I'm so excited because everyone tells me it's one of the best festivals out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty renowned. When you're working at a big festival, do you get to interact with other artists much, or are you kind of all doing your own thing?
Really depends. It depends on who the artists are, how friendly they are, and sometimes just their schedules, you know, depending on if they're in and out to get to other places. I know around New Year's, I think I'm playing on the 30th, and there are some of my mates that are coming, but they're just in and out of the festival site, whereas I'm actually staying in Gisborne overnight so I can stay and hang. I mean, I'll be trying to hang and see as many acts as I can.
Yeah, are you going to be in Aotearoa for a while, or strictly here for business?
I'm just here for business, which is such a shame, but I have travelled to New Zealand many times for holidays as well. It's so close. It really feels like a second home. It doesn't really feel like you're going on an international trip or anything. I just really love it over there. And funny fact, the New Zealand accent is my favourite accent. That's not a lie.
That's very refreshing, because I think it's very dry, silly accent.
No, I love it. And I'm not taking the piss. It is my favourite accent out there.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. With your R&B set, will you be playing a lot of new material or more so like the hits, so to say?
It'll be both. I'll definitely be playing a hit. And in fact, one of my tracks, People Happy, it was out a few years ago, I've recently just done a new remix of. So people kind of know that, but I decided I wanted to do a fresher version to fit in my set. So I'll be playing things like that, and then a bunch of unreleased tracks as well. So They'll all be fun, though. Everything I play is very high energy and things you can connect with and sing along to.
When you're playing a festival such as R&B, do you tend to stick to a formula of one for them, one for me?
It really changes, and I'm trying to read the crowd as I go because, you know, you might think you have a plan and then you start playing and you're watching everyone, you're like, no, that plan is out the door, and then you're just kind of freestyling it. But, I mean, I'm in a good place now where I have so much of my own music that really works well and people enjoy and like, which is so amazing. So I can kind of just play a lot of my own stuff, which is just such a good spot to be in.
I really want to thank you for your time and coming and talking to me. I just have one more question. I want to know, have you got any DJs from Aotearoa New Zealand that you've had your eyes on?
Oh, that's a good question. In New Zealand, everyone loves drum and bass so much, and that has not been my genre in the past, but I feel like it's really making a comeback. So I'm actually quite excited to go and listen and discover new music when I'm over there, because I feel like that kind of stuff isn't represented so much in Australia. So I'm excited to learn and find some new music.
Well, it's fascinating because in Otipotis, Dunedin, where I'm currently speaking to you from, D&B has been top of the pops for, I'd say, 7-ish years now. And it's really starting to kind of lose its crown as more techno-y and hyper-pop and house genres are coming into the fore, which I found quite refreshing. But if you are looking for good DJs, New Zealand DJs to have a look at, I recommend DJ Bax. He's a local Donk DJ, if you're familiar with Donk. And Candy. Candy is exceptional.
Amazing. All right, thank you so much.
No, of course. Thank you very much for your time, and really wishing you well for your day.
Thank you.
R&B is great.
Thank you so much. Great to chat to you.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.